Amen. Praise God. Glad to hear that good song. We shall see the King when he comes. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. That's what I'm going to try to preach on tonight, Lord willing. I just seemed like I felt confirmation when began to sing that song. Amen. Genesis 24, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham was 140 years old. He was 100 when Isaac was born, and now Isaac is 40. Amen. So it makes his daddy 140. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. Thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Pray with me, if you will. Lord, thank you for your wondrous plan, purpose, your grand design, this great unfolding drama of your redemption. Lord, move mightily in this service. God, each soul here, this great people, every soul worth more than the world's, help us right now, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. The servant, a type of the Holy Ghost, was charged by the Father, type of God, Lord God, Jehovah, to take a wife for his son. Praise God. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ typified. Amen. Now, he was servant made his camels kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass. Here's his fleece that he put before God. He said, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. I like that, don't you? praise God, that's good. It came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out. That name, Rebekah, is a very interesting name. It means a cord with a noose. That's what the name Rebekah means, a cord with a noose. Enchaining. Praise God, when she came out, he knew immediately, I believe, this is the one. It came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. Paul said, I've espoused you as a chaste virgin unto one husband. Praise God. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And a servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. Praise God. Just what he asked the Lord to let her say, she said it, until I will draw water for thy camels also until they are done, they have done drinking. I'll give them water till they won't drink anymore. You know that's what for us to do? You know that's what we need to do? Those old ugly camels. I mean, I know nothing could be beautiful if something wasn't ugly, but it seems like a shame that they had to be so ugly. They're ugly. Ooh, look awful. Huh? They're hateful as they are ugly. They'll bite you. Old nasty looking teeth. They'll bite you. They will spit on you. They'll kick you. They're just ugly and hateful. But you need to wear yourself out, giving them water till they won't drink anymore. Amen. Amen. Continue in the faith. Paul told him to continue in the faith, and he told him that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah, that old camel named Tribulation, give him a drink. And just keep giving him drink till he drinks, till he's done drinking. Amen, because he is going to carry you home after a while. Amen. Praise God. 2 Timothy 3:12, he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecutions are fiery, and the trial, they hurt. They're hard to get through, but give them water. You'll enter in Praise God, into God's heaven after a while. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution, but give that old camel a drink. He is going to carry you home. Praise God. God help us right here. Temptation. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Amen. Jesus said, pray every day, lead us not into temptation. And that black preacher said, God didn't say dive into temptation. He said, count it all joy when you fall into temptation. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will also, he'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but he will also, with the temptation, make a way for your escape, that you may be able to bear it. Praise God. Give that old camel named temptation a drink. Amen. Praise God. Paul said, I'll glory in tribulation. I'll glory in affliction. Praise God. These old camels, distress, peril, sword, weariness, carry them water. They said that the camels will drink between 30 and 50 gallons of water each after they've been on a trip like this. And they had 10 camels. So if you sort of average it out, say 40 gallons apiece, that's 400 gallons to walk way down in that well and get a pitcher and set it on your shoulder and carry 400 gallons of water out of there and pour it out in the trough. All right. Amen. Some scholars say she could have made as high as 10,000 steps carrying all this water. Praise God. When she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for the camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camel. Ran. Praise God. It's not enough to keep all the commandments. You have to make sure none of them are grievous. And if you get it down just right, then all of it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. Well, help us, Holy Ghost. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? She said unto him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she married unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. I want to try to preach about marriage. I want to preach about the wedding. Amen. Marriage was instituted in the Garden Paradise. It was ordained by God Almighty. It's as old as nature. There was no sooner one man than God divided him into two. And there was no sooner two, but God united them again into one. Amen. This is the oldest sacred institution made with man, that God made with man in his state of innocency. Praise God. And the Lord God said, it's not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. That means suitable, appropriate. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. They still have the names that Adam gave them. Praise God. You call a zebra, because Adam named him a zebra. Amen. Praise God. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. Praise God. These young men, single men and young married men, praise God. That doesn't mean that you tell your wife how great your mother could cook. Huh? You tell your wife how great she can cook. Because you've left mom and dad, and now you leave. And praise God. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. Amen. Praise God. That's one of the greatest causes of trouble in the home, mama's boys. Amen. Thank God. It was instituted in paradise by God Almighty, and it was confirmed by Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew 19:3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man put away his wife for every cause? He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Praise God. How old are you, Brother Sam? 27. When you were 7, it's a young man. Did you ever think you'd have to get in this pulpit and preach and tell the boys you're supposed to marry a girl? Huh? You ever think you're going to have to tell the girls you're supposed to marry a man? My God, hey. People don't get that now. They couldn't have possibly got that stupid by themselves. They had to have the devil to help them. But, my God, you're going to marry a man? A man? Marry a man? A woman? Marry a woman? I don't preach about a wedding, but I don't know if you ever thought about a wedding like that. Pervert number one, would you take pervert number two to be your unlawfully wedded pervert? Huh? What are you going to say? What in the world are you going to say? Huh? I don't understand. No, it's demonic. And if you mess around with that very long at all, you'll be demon-possessed. And God turn you over and give you up. I mean, what an awful thing when you could get married to a woman and live and be one flesh all your life and actually have children, raise a family. That's the sorriest aspect of this thing, as far as I'm concerned. It's legal in these United States of America. On the money, it says, in God we trust. And these homos and these lesbians can actually adopt little babies and take them into that den of perversion and iniquity. Praise God. Matthew 19, the Pharisees came tempting him and saying, is it lawful for a man put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? God didn't make Adam and Eve. He made Adam and Eve. And I don't care how many thousand of them say it, God made them that way. I don't care how many perverted scientists find differences in their brains. They're of the devil and they are abomination in the sight of God. And God never did make an abomination. Amen. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Mark chapter 10, verse 2, and the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. He answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered us to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So that there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in his house his disciples, asked him again of the same matter. He saith unto them, once you get this word, that's about all I'm going to do is read the Bible, because man. That's enough. Just read the Bible. If you want to argue with the Bible, you take it up with God. Don't come to me. I didn't write it. Huh? Here's the word, verse 11, Mark 10. Whosoever. Y'all know what that means? How many know what whosoever means? Huh? Whosoever shall put away his wife, this is Jesus talking, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth, ETH, continuation implied by that suffix, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. That's in the Authorized King James Version of the Bible, inspired of God. Amen. The Pharisees cited the custom of divorce. Jesus cited the law of marriage. The Pharisees cited permission from Moses. Jesus cited a precept from God Almighty. Amen. Praise God. I feel more like preaching all the time. Romans 7:1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, you say I do, you did. You say I will, you sure have to. You sure better. Amen. If the husband be dead, she loosed from the law of her husband. But if, so then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. It's getting good here now. This is wonderful. Praise God. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. Praise God. You think about it. Married to Jesus. That we should bring forth fruit unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. Marriage. Eve was the first bride, and she was beautiful. God made her out of Adam's rib. Adam loved Eve. You listen to me. I'm talking about your first example of marriage. God made him a wife. And Adam loved Eve like she was the only woman in the whole world. Huh? You know it's so. You all know it's so, don't you? He loved her like she's the only one in the world. And he thought she was the most beautiful woman in the whole world. And if you don't love your wife like that, like she's the only woman in the world, and you don't think that she's the most beautiful woman in the world, you need to get on these altars till God adjusts your eyesight and fixes your heart, and you get up from there and know that you're a child of God, and God gave you your bride, and you are part of God's bride. Well, hallelujah. That's how Jesus feels about us. Praise God. Ought to make everybody shout. God only took one rib. He only made one wife. Brother Chester Doctor said if Adam had as many wives as some of these guys nowadays, and God took one of his ribs, make each one with, the guy's chest would cave in. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about marriage. I'm talking about a wedding. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. You love her like Jesus loved you. And when he puts you away because he got his eyes on another bride, well, you can do the same thing. But he is our example, and you're supposed to do what he does. And he's got one bride. And he's so devoted to her, he laid down his life for her. He was crucified on a rugged cross for her. He suffered all shame and ignominy for her sake. Great God, he loved her enough to pour out his blood for her. Hallelujah. He gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's that it should be holy and without blemish. Praise God. I read this scripture several times before I got it. I finally got it. I just sat there and cried and bawled and squalled. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Huh? We're married to Christ. We're one flesh. We're members of his flesh, of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. The bride. Groups of people. I mean, many people. They just work and work and work. My wife has done several weddings. And I made the announcement at another place that she's officially retired. Folks just do not understand how much work it is. The people that love her the most, it's expensive. They work and work and work to make sure that she is her most beautiful. Her most beautiful self in her glistering white raiment, her wedding gown. And when they strike up that wedding march, and everybody rises and looks toward the back of the church, and she comes down that aisle, she will never, ever be more gloriously lovely. You never saw an ugly bride in your life. I haven't either. They're all beautiful. Praise God. In creation, God made a woman without a mother. She came from a man. She was made from his rib, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh. God made that man without father or mother. He formed him out of the dirt and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. Jesus made our first mother, and he made his own mother. He chose his own mother, picked her out himself. Only man I know of that did that. Praise God. Ain't nobody like it. Praise God. Jesus chose the town in which he would be born. And the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Praise God. Jesus made all the predictions. Not predictions, I mean declarations, prophecy concerning his birth and all of it. And Jesus moved the earthly kings and the heavenly kings to make sure all his birth announcements were fulfilled perfectly. Praise God. God made Jesus without earthly father. His conception was really immaculate. He was born holy, so everything had to be perfect. But his perfections are without number. His perfections are unsearchable. How beautiful, how lovely is our Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I can feel this in my feet now. Hallelujah. He's the groom. He's the son of the Father. He's the heir of God. Isaiah 54 and 5 said, "For thy maker is thine husband." Who's your husband? The Lord of hosts is his name. Who's the bridegroom? Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. Praise God. No wonder God's children, sons and daughters, get so happy they can't stand it and they don't know what to do. And you can tell they don't know what to do. Praise God. Old big brother called Ely used to get anointed preaching and singing. He'd get a real wild look in his eye and he'd say, Hey, praise God. You could easily see it's pretty obvious he doesn't know what to do. But he's about to do something. You can count on that. Praise God. Took running off down around and came back up on the other, running around the platform down off the, running around the altar and everybody stood up and he took another round, and that time a big man standing there on the front row, he grabbed him under his arm, ran all the way around with him, just holding him under his arm like a little baby. Huh? Praise God. I love it, don't you? Pray, thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the whole God, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. He's our husband. Praise God, you better not mess with me. My husband will get you. Yeah. Praise God, I mean. Praise God. I don't care how little and frail and pitiful he looks. You mess with his wife, you're going to find out that's a little pack of dynamite because he's going to blow up on you. Huh? Huh? Praise God. I know some of these precious brothers. I've met their wives. I know them a little bit. And you meet a child of God, you just normally love. You love everybody if you're saved. But you, especially the household of God. Praise God. But I don't love them like they do. That's their husband. Praise God. Down in Florida, we moved down there to get rich. The only thing gets me was God. It seemed like that's enough. About 2:30 in the morning, I was up reading. Wasn't saved, lost, pitiful. And I heard something in the children's room. We didn't have nothing. Little girl was about 4 and her boy was 1. Had a little pallet in there in that room and slept on the floor. Plenty warm and everything, but no furniture. We sold all our furniture and moved to Florida and get rich. Boomtown, Tampa. 1,700 units a month. I got there, he did too. Moratorium on water and sewer, just because I went down there. Then took all the training for real estate, got all the law books, the whole mess. Took complete building construction from batting boards all the way to finished carpenter, everything. I mean, a whole stack of books and done went through all of it. Shut down everything just because I moved to town. Because I wasn't supposed to be there. I was supposed to be in Kentucky and get saved, start preaching the word like God told me to ever since I've been about 5 years old. Huh? Praise God. But what I was going to say, I heard that noise and I walked in there in the room where the children slept, and there it was. The screen's already out. Somebody took it out. The curtains are blowing in and out, in and out. I didn't have a gun. Never did want to have one. I figured I'd get more trouble than I would without one. Huh? I got a little tiny baseball bat, about like a little billy club or something. Man, Brother Stewart, I was taller than the tallest man in here. And I was swelling up. It's amazing what a giant I became. Huh? I said, you're in here. You're not getting out of here if I see you. You got a gun, it better be big, and you better shoot fast, and you better shoot straight, because I'm fixing to beat your brains out no matter what you do. Huh? Huh? No, not one thought about me, nothing. I said, you're not going to hurt my wife or my children as long as I'm breathing. Not a bit of it. I didn't find him in the house. He must have heard me come and jump back out. And I went out and went around the house looking for him. I'm telling you, you don't mess with a man's wife. Huh? You got any sense, you leave that alone. Totally. Huh? Praise God, he may not look like anything, but you're going to find out he's all kinds of things if you mess with his wife. Huh? Praise God. I don't have to worry about that no more. I got the Lord to watch over me. Praise God. I was telling you, if you wouldn't lay down your life for your wife, there ain't no man to you. You wouldn't make a good boy. Everybody shout amen if you believe the word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, they called Rebekah, and she said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. They said, let her stay with us a few days, at the least 10. Well, they said, we'll call her and ask her what she wants, the damsel, see what she. They called Rebekah, and she said unto them, they said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. They sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Has she done it? Sure has. Praise God. Has she done it? Hey, how many is in heaven? An innumerable host. Praise, a number that no man can number. Praise God. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate her. Praise God. Did Jesus say, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Amen. Praise God. Let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate her. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, they rode upon. Now listen. They rode upon the camels. I said, let's water them old things. No matter how ugly and mean they are, let's pour the water to them. They're going to take us home after a while. Praise God. They rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Praise God. They brought the bride to the bridegroom's house. Praise God. He came from the way of the well Lahairoi. That means Lahairoi means the well of the living one. Amen. It means alive. It means fresh. It means fresh water. It means strong life. It means a strong living thing. Hey, that's a well that he came by. Praise God. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. Praise God. She saw Isaac and lighted off the camel. She said, that's a bridegroom. I got to get my feet down on the ground. I got to humble myself. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Now listen. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Did you know that Galatians 4:26 says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Praise God. Yeah, he brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. Praise God, our bridegroom is going to take his bride to that Jerusalem which is above, to his mother's tent. Praise God. Ah, Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Well, glory. Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah said, no form, no comeliness, no beauty. But I say, never so beautiful. Never so lovely. When I survey the wondrous cross, I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Christ is beautiful. He has that dazzling beauty. He shades your eyes from the glory of it. He has that dazzling beauty of a thousand splendors. Are you listening to me? He has that peaceful, soothing, comforting beauty of purity and peace. He's altogether lovely. He's got that multifaceted beauty that you study, you contemplate, you meditate upon. Beauty that's so apparent and so obvious at a glance, and again, so deep. It has to be mined. Oh God, I'd love to talk a little bit about how beautiful the bridegroom is. Beauty to experience. His beauty. The brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. Intricate, strained to view the precious, subtle shades of it. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys, the bright and morning star. Oh God. The light of the world, the light of life, the light of heaven. Beautiful, the beauty of holiness. That is God's definitive attribute, holiness. And we are to praise the beauty of holiness. God help me. Beauty to learn and teach and preach and live, show and tell. Beauty to be enthralled and entranced and overwhelmed by over and over and over. More and more and more. Praise God. I got to hurry. In the time of Christ, weddings were often celebrated with great feasting and rejoicing. When the marriage feast was to take place, the bridegroom went to the home of the bride. The bridegroom went to the home of the bride with his friends. And they're called the children of the bride chamber. And then a great procession was formed, and with torches and lamps, they accompanied the bride to the house of the bridegroom. Amen. Praise God. Bridegroom went to the bride's house, and they formed this great parade, if you will. And they went to the house of the bridegroom. Y'all going to help me just a couple more minutes here? Psalm 68 and 17 said the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Angel chariots. Praise God. Sound good to me? Isaiah 66 and 15 said the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind. Amen. 2 Kings 2:11 said there appeared a chariot of fire. Psalm 104 and 3 said, who maketh the clouds his chariots. Job 37 and 16 speaks about the balancings of the clouds. Praise God. Psalm 36 and 5 said, thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Psalm 57 and 10 said, thy truth is great unto the clouds. Psalm 68 and 34 said, his strength is in the clouds. Praise God. Stepping on a cloud, we'll see Jesus. And you don't need to worry about it at all. His strength is in the clouds. His truth is in the clouds. His faithfulness is in the clouds. And God Almighty has made the clouds his chariot. And he has balanced the clouds. Praise God. Just get on and ride. Everything's already fixed. There's a chariot of fire. Chariots like a whirlwind. Chariots of God. 20,000 angels. Glory be to Jesus. God's own chariots coming in the morning. Oh, that wonderful day. It's a grand old chariot coming without a warning. Take his people away. I'll be standing at the station waiting. For I'm going home. I'll roll away when God's chariot comes. Praise God. Step on that cloud. See Jesus. Praise God. How it's the wedding of the bride united with the groom. Hallelujah. Innumerable host, a great feast. Praise God. Wedding of the bride. Thank God. Jesus will be there. There'll be no worries about the catering service. Praise God. The food will be just wonderful. Seven loaves and a few fishes. He fed 4,000, five loaves and two fishes. He fed 5,000. Praise God. And he already said his flesh is meat indeed and his blood is drink indeed. Help me right here, God. I got to studying on this feast, this marriage feast, this wedding of the bride. Praise God. And I thought like this. If there's one little minnow and a little crumb of bread there, that'll be plenty no matter how many millions. Oh. Praise God. Bread enough and to spare. The father walks the bride down the aisle. And the question is asked, who giveth this woman to this man? And the father says, her mother and I. I thought about saying nobody. I'm taking her back home. Praise God. But warning every man, teaching every man that we may present every man perfect. Present this bride as a chaste virgin, his spouse to one husband. Praise God. They have rehearsal, they have this, they have that, they have the other. By the time it's over, everybody's wore out. And nobody's wore out like the bride and groom. They're so tired, they don't hardly know who they are. But they get through all that tissue and all that soap and all that grease on the Vaseline, all stuff all over everything, on the door handles, everywhere. They get the windshield washed off enough they can see through it. They're not thinking about how tired they are. They're not thinking about a whole lot of things. They're thinking, I'm married to one I gave my very heart and soul to. I'm united. We're one. Thank God. Then they head for the bridal suite. Praise God. Oh, it's a wonderful time. Glorious. Approved of by God Almighty. He put his stamp of approval on it. In fact, he instituted it. Praise God. Marriage is honorable in all. Hallelujah. Then they're heading for the bridal suite. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. I mean, Jesus came to save the world, but he didn't come to save Texas. None of this dirt, none of this grass, none of these trees. He came to save people. And he said, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Praise God. You talk about a honeymoon suite. Glory. I say glory. This bride is going to a city where there'll be no more night. Going to a city where Jesus is the light. Trumpet's going to sound. And I'm going to fly away. Praise God. I'm going to that city someday. Glory to God. Had a glory of God, and her light was like a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. Praise God, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That's a honeymoon suite. That's where we're going to have a honeymoon forever and ever. Glory to God, that's where we're going to live and never die. That's where we're going to stay and never grow old. Praise God, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, and no more pain, and no more tears, because God will wipe them all away. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as a breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, 1,500 miles. Praise God. I like to think about this. I'm fixing to go. City's 1,500 miles, four square. I'd be right up there in the northeast corner and look all the way down in the southwest corner and say, praise God, I couldn't see across one of the gates with these eyes I got now. I can see across the whole city with those glorified eyes. I can look down in that corner down there and see Brother Sammy and I. Well, praise God, I'd like to shake his hand, talk to him about how he made it over and be there just in a split. Now, I mean, nothing flat, speed of thought. That's how I feel about it. Be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. The disciples out there in the middle of the sea, rowing, toiling and rowing all